I will sing, amen. And forever, praising, glorify the King. Oh, that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. And the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see.
This morning, let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Father, we ask as we do every service for your power. I ask you, Lord, to be with the preaching in here and the preaching in Children's Church, and especially, Lord, there's one lost. We ask you every service that you would touch their heart, that they might get saved. Bless the rest of us that are saved, Lord, that we might get something out of the message and the singing as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
All right, we're going to sing He Lives on High. Christ the Savior came from heaven glory to redeem the lost from sin and shame. On his brow he wore the thorn crown glory, and upon Calvary he took my blame. He lives on high, he lives on high, triumphant over sin and all its stains. Someday he's coming again. He arose from death and all its sorrow to dwell in that land of joy and love. He is coming back some glad tomorrow, and he'll take all his children home above. He lives on high, he lives on high, triumphant over sin and all its stain. He lives on high, he lives on high, someday he's coming again. Weary soul to Jesus come confessing, redemption from sin he offers thee. Look to Jesus and receive a blessing. There is life, there is joy and victory. He lives on high, he lives on high, triumphant over sin and all its stain. He lives on high, he lives on high, someday he's coming again.
It's a privilege for us to have the folks visiting with us. If you're here for the first time, or the first time in a long time, if you just slip your hand up, our ushers will come by with a visitor's card. Brother Perry, we should give you a visitor's card. Brother Perry is back. He was 5 weeks in the hospital with COVID, and then he decided to spend some time in rehab. Brother Rita, we have some young folks right over here as well. We're not going to give Brother Perry one, but right in front of Brother Bays. Good to have you folks. Anyone else? Don't want to miss anyone? All right. Let me give you the announcements. Don't forget to be back in your place tonight, 6 o'clock for the evening service. We'll have the service here for 6. Then Wednesday night, 7:30 for prayer and Bible study. And then Thursday, soul winning at 6:45. Friday, youth activity, 6 to 7:30. Saturday morning, bus visitation at 9:30. Soul winning at 10:45. And then church again, Sunday school 9:45, church at 10:50 next week. Again, for those of you that are praying, we want you to continue to pray for Brother Perry. He did go home on Friday. He is here today, and that's a big blessing. Most of you now, some of us got to see him the other day when we did the drive-by, but the rest of you hadn't seen him for at least 5 to 6 weeks because he was 5 weeks in the hospital. And little brother got saved at back in Children's Church. Him and his family was here for the first time last Sunday, and they got saved, and that was a big blessing. But again, always pray for the lost. We want to reach the lost. And again, don't forget to pray for all the folks we have, the sick. We have some that's just normal. I mean, have normal stuff. Miss Anna, Miss Molly, some of the others have been having trouble with different things. But again,
all right, let's all stand, sing, "Whosoever Meaneth Me." I am happy today and the sun shines bright. The clouds have been rolled away. For the Savior said, "Whosoever will, may come with Him to stay. That Jesus should die for me. I was lost in sin, for the world I pine, but now I am set free. Whosoever surely meaneth me." Offering, guys, you can come. Surely meaneth me. Whosoever surely meaneth me. Whosoever meaneth me.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for this opportunity to be in church, Lord. I pray that you bless the offering, Lord. Bless the gift and the giver. Be with our preacher, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Okay, how firm a foundation. Anybody's ever listened to J. Vern McGee, you've heard this song. Jesus hath led. Fear not.
Psalm 100, verse 5, it says, "For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting," and then it says, "His truth endureth to all generations." John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth." John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." And this is interesting, Augustine said this, "Truth and mind do not rank as equals, otherwise truth would be mutable as the mind is." But His truth, it never changes, it never wavers, it never deviates. His truth is always marching on. And to all that falls is finally gone. Truth is marching on. Some doubt His birth was of a virgin. Some think His miracles could be explained away. Some say that He was just a good man. Even though He died, He wasn't really raised. Skeptics rise, speak their lies. Truth is marching on. Truth is marching on. Down the corridors of time, invincible, divine, until all that falls is finally gone. Truth is marching on. There will always be cynics and scoffers. Faith has always had its noisy enemies. They may rise up, but only for a moment, till we see the evidence through the centuries. Jesus Christ, the way to life. Truth is marching on. Truth is marching on. Down the corridors of time, invincible, divine, until all that falls is finally gone. Truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Truth is marching on. Truth is marching on. Down the corridors of time, invincible, divine, until
visiting with us. I am not Dwayne Nichols. If you looked up online and looked to see who the pastor was, he is the one that's sick today. I am the one filling in for Brother Nichols. So, again, you'll want to come back and hear him sometime. If you have your Bibles, go to Exodus chapter 15. We'll start in Exodus chapter 15. You can hold your finger there in Exodus chapter 15 and you then go to 1 Samuel. Verse chapter 29, we'll be reading a verse over there as well. Now, those of you who've been to Liberty Baptist Church realize that I have a cheat because I have all the verses printed off ahead of time, so if I'm going sometimes too fast. Now, if you'll get there, you'll find I am in the King James Bible. I don't make up stuff. I don't use a different version, so. But we'll start with Exodus chapter 15. Now, Brother Taylor just got through singing, and many times we talk about someone singing and they have a message in the song. That's what we're going to talk about this morning, messages in the song to the lost. This evening I'll be preaching on messages in song to the saved. But today, now if you're saved today, you'll still get a blessing out of this because you'll realize this was true of you before you got saved. Now I've been saved for 51 years. I've been saved a long time. Some of you have not been saved that long. Some of you are not even nearly that old. But again, I can tell you the truths of the Word of God when I was a kid are the same truths that's in there today. I tell my kids in algebra class that math is an exact science. There are lots of answers. There's only one right answer to every problem. Now, unless you have a algebra problem, then sometimes there can be two or three answers to the problem. But in regular math, by the way, 2 plus 2 was 4 when I was a kid. Now, I don't know what they tell the kids in school 2 plus 2 today because they have changed a lot of stuff in school. So I have no idea what they're telling kids today in school. But when I was a kid in school, 2 plus 2 is 4. And by the way, if you really know your math, 2 plus 2 is still 4. It doesn't change. And there are some truths that don't change. We're going to give you some of those today. So we're going to look at Exodus chapter 15, verse 1 first. Notice what it says. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea. Big day for the children of Israel. They had been faced with a massive army. They had women, men, and children. And again, if you know anything about warfare, you don't want your family and all your stuff with you when you have to go to battle. You like to know there's some place safe, hopefully inside some walls or inside a place of protection. That wasn't the case now. The children of Israel are fleeing Egypt. The children of Israel are being pursued by Pharaoh's army. Now, originally, Pharaoh let them go. But the more he thought about it, the angrier he got. And the angrier he got, he finally realized, you know what? They're not leaving. Not only that, they're not leaving, but I'm going to send my folks. We're going to bring them back. And he probably intended to kill a bunch of them and punish a bunch of them. But what happened was they followed the children of Israel someplace they shouldn't have followed the children of Israel. Now, again, if you wonder whether God, there are a lot of folks that will talk about the children of Israel. When the Pharaoh's army drowned, they did not drown in the Red Sea. They say that was not true, that God did not open up the waters. They did not walk across on dry ground. They tried to teach in some places that they drowned in the Reed Sea. The Reed Sea was close to the Red Sea. And now here's the problem. I tell people all the time, I believe they died in the Red Sea. But by the way, it was just as big a miracle for them to die in the Reed Sea. You know why? Because the Reed Sea is only about 18 inches deep. And how he drowned Pharaoh's army in 18 inches of water, I don't have any idea. So either one would have been a big deal. But the Bible says Red Sea, and that's exactly what it meant. And they were singing. After it was over, the children of Israel were pretty excited because God took care of their enemies. Notice in your Bible, 1 Samuel chapter 29. 1 Samuel chapter 29, verse 5 says, Is not this David, of whom they sang one to another in dances, saying, Saul slew his thousands, David his 10,000. Now, by the way, David really didn't slay 10,000. He did slay the enemy, and he was a mighty warrior. The fact is, he slew one guy that was probably worth a lot more than one. I mean, he slew the giant Goliath, which is how he got known, but they were singing songs about him. In Ezra chapter 3, verse 11, the Bible says, they sang together by chorus in praise and in giving thanks unto the Lord. Acts 16, verse 25, we had some fellows that was in prison. Now, by the way, they weren't in prison because of evil deeds that they had done. They were in prison because they were preaching the Word of God, and they'd been told to stop preaching the Word of God, and they kept preaching it anyway. So the Bible says in Acts chapter 16, verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. If you know anything else about the rest of the story, the story goes on, and God opened up the prison doors, and the prisoners, by the way, did not run out. Now, that is a crazy thing. By the way, that is just as big a miracle as the doors opening, of the miracle that prisoners stayed in prison. I can tell you, if you go to an average prison and you open the doors, and again, the guards are asleep, trust me, you're going to come back later to an empty prison, okay? Unless there's someone that just has a few days left and they decide, you know what, I am not leaving. I'm staying here in my bunk. You guys go ahead and run off if you want to, but I'm not leaving because if they catch me, and they probably will, I'll get time added on and I don't need that. I'm getting out in 2 days. There might be a few folks stay behind, but the average prisoner, when the doors open, they take off. But Paul and Silas were there doing something most of us would not have been doing. Most of us would have been crying and whining. That's what we'd have been doing. But they were not. They were singing praises and preaching. And by the way, that's the reason I think the prisoners stayed. They realized that God was there, and they realized that these fellows had something that they didn't have. And I think they stayed behind so they could hear some more. But again, message in song to the lost. Let's pray, and then we'll get on with the message. Lord, you know, I ask every service to help me and use me, and I do today as well. I need you to help me to know which ones, which songs and which verses to sing and read. And I pray, Lord, you'd help me also that I might be able to give what needs to be said today. If there is one lost person here, that it might be clear enough and plain enough that they realize their need of salvation today and they come and get saved and get born again. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, every service we always give an invitation at the end of the service. And we, in that invitation, we invite people. That's what the invitation means. We invite people to come to the altar and get saved. Now, Sunday morning, especially, because usually we have some visitors on Sunday morning, and we run two buses, and they bring in folks, which is how this young man got saved last week. He came in on a bus last Sunday. Him and his family is, I think he has either four or five brothers and sisters, and two of them, how many? Two brothers and two sisters. So four of them, and two of them got saved last week. The other two didn't understand, so we're just going to pray for them to get saved in the future. Sometimes kids don't always understand that they're a sinner. And by the way, you can't get saved unless you know you're a sinner. But we're going to talk today, message and song to the lost. Years ago, I found this song, and it's kind of cute in a cute way, but it's also, when you think of it, it's not cute for the lost person. It's called The Last Sunday. And by the way, I don't know if today is the last Sunday. Brother Nichols is going to teach on prophecy on Sunday nights when he's here. But again, one of the things he'll tell you at the very beginning of his prophecy message is simply this. There is nothing else that has to happen before the rapture. There's nothing else in history that has to happen. There's nothing else out in the world that has to happen. The next event on God's calendar is the rapture. Now, the rapture is where you and I as children of God will be caught away up to heaven. And then, by the way, there's some other stuff that comes after that. But the rapture is the number one event, or the beginning event. Now, so the truth is, today could be the last Sunday. Tomorrow could be the last Monday, if we're still alive. Could be the last Tuesday. We don't know when he's coming, but we do know that he is coming because he promised. But this song says the last Sunday. Mrs. Jones does her knitting in the rocker by the window as she watches kids play across the street. Down the road and not too far, sitting at a corner bar, Mr. Daly buys a drink for Mrs. Fleet. While at 34th and Vine in their car at the stop sign are the Smiths on the way to Sunday school. They both wave to Mr. Grote, who is bringing out his boat. He'll be staying at the lake a day or so. The church near Valley Station, the preacher tells the congregation about social action, wars, and civil rights. By the way, not what the preacher should be preaching. While many in the subdivision sit and watch the television, hoping that their favorite ball team wins the fight. Then it goes on, and this is the verse that's so sad for the lost. Mr. Jones, still knitting in the rocker by the window, wondering where are the kids across the street. Down the road and not too far, sitting at that corner bar, Mr. Daly buys another drink for Mrs. Fleet. While 34th and Vine, in her car at the stop sign, Mrs. Smith wonders where her husband's gone. She cries out to Mr. Grote, who's still bringing out his boat. He exclaims, "What on earth is going on?" In Pleasant Valley Station, there's less than half the congregation. Now, by the way, I hope that's not true of Liberty Baptist Church. I say that Brother Nichols used to joke, and he'd say, if the rapture happens and I'm not here tonight, Brother Block will preach. Well, I can tell you, if the rapture happens, Brother Block's not going to be here, so Brother Taylor will have to preach. And if he's not here, I'm not sure who's going to preach. But and by the way, I hope that there's not half the congregation. But it said at Pleasant Valley Station, there's less than half the congregation. The preacher stands and trembles at the sight, while many in the subdivision sit and watch the television, hoping that their favorite ball team wins the fight. Now listen to me, this could be the last Sunday. If you're a lost person here today, and this is the last Sunday, then you need to listen closely to the other songs and the other verses I'll read you, because they're going to be very, very important in the decision that you need to make today at the end of the service. The first thing I want to give you this morning when it comes to messages of the song to the lost is songs sung by the lost. Here's one of the songs that the lost like to sing. They like to sing a song called Plenty of Time. I got up on Sunday morning, went to the church at 10. I listened to the words that I'd heard time and time again. The preacher spoke of sinful lives. It seemed he spoke of mine, but I was young. I had plenty of time. I walked on down life's pathway, living as I wished to live, out to beat the other fellow, out to get what life could give. Making money is not sinful. Having fun is not a crime. So I'll just wait, because I've got plenty of time. Before I knew what had happened, life's scenes had passed away. Millions stood before God's throne, for it was judgment day. Now the eternal darkness beckons, and the name He calls is mine. But I thought that I had plenty of time. Go with me in your Bibles to James chapter 4. The reason James chapter 4 verse 14 is in the Bible is just because of that simple fact. People, lost people, the devil will try to convince you that he doesn't ever tell you not to get saved. He just tells you not to get saved today. Because he doesn't care. What he wants you to do, he doesn't want you to get saved. So if you're thinking he wants you to get saved down the road, you're wrong. He wants you to keep rolling it back and rolling it back, rolling it back, till you die without Christ, and then it's too late. Notice James chapter 4, verse 14. If you think you have plenty of time, read this verse. James 4, 14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? He tells us what it is. It's even a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanisheth away. I can tell you, being 60 years old now, looking back at my youth, it just seemed like yesterday. It just seemed like yesterday that the kids were being born, and the kids are going to school, and then the kids are graduating, and then they're having grandkids. And again, life runs by if you're not careful. And if you're a lost person, you put off the decision you need to make. You think you have plenty of time. I can tell you, you do not. In the Bible, there's a fellow that Paul had preached to. And in Acts 26:28. Agrippa said this unto Paul. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. There's a song that says, almost persuaded now to believe. Almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day, then I'll call. The last verse says, almost persuaded, harvest is past. Almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost persuaded, cannot avail. Almost is but to fail. Sad, sad, that bitter well. Almost, but lost. And by the way, the devil wants you to put that off. He wants you to think you have plenty of time. He wants you... By the way, he doesn't mind if you're almost persuaded. He does not want you to become persuaded. And by the way, that's what we're trying to do at church. If you're lost today, we are trying to persuade you to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, if you notice, I didn't say we want to persuade you to join our church. Some churches tell you that. And by the way, sad is that church that tells you you get to heaven by going to church, because that's not in the Bible. There are churches that will tell you some things you need to do to go to heaven. And by the way, sad is that church, because there's nothing that you can do other than receive Christ. There's nothing you can do to go to heaven. Christ has done it all when He died on the cross for you. Again, make sure that you don't sing Plenty of Time or Almost Persuaded. But by the way, with that bad news, there's some good news for the lost. Good news for the lost. I like this one. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. If you're wondering today whether I'm going to heaven because I'm better than you, the answer to that is no. If I'm going to heaven and you're not, the only difference is I've realized the fact that I owed a debt I couldn't pay. He paid a debt he didn't owe. And I, as a 9-year-old child, came to Christ one day in a church service, came down front, and the preacher took the Word of God, showed me how to receive Christ as my Savior, and I did. Another song of good news to the lost. His burdens are lifted at Calvary. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." There are a lot of people that think they need to just clean up their life and turn over a new leaf, and that if they get better. I want to tell people, even if you could quit sinning today, what about all the sins you've committed in the past? You still owe a debt for that. And the truth is, you cannot quit sinning today. Even if you get born again, guess what? You still live in this fleshly body, so you're still going to sin even once you get saved. Sin is forever with us because of this body. Good news for the lost. Not only did he pay a debt he didn't owe, not only are burdens lifted to Calvary, but there's room at the cross for you. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish," but notice the next phrase, "but that all should come to repentance." Now, when he says that in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, when he says, again, that he is not willing that any should perish, here's what he means. If you go to hell, you go to hell against God's wishes, against Christ's wishes. His wish, His desire is that you and I get born again. That's why He hung on the cross. That's why He did all He did. He didn't do that to make a name for Himself. He didn't do that because He wanted to be a hero, or He didn't want to do that because He wanted to go down in history and be remembered as a great martyr. He did that because of our sin problem. And again, understand, there is room at the cross for you. Kids often sing the song, "Jesus Loves Me." Most well-known verse in the Bible, John 3:16, reiterates that thought. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's some good news to the lost. The fact that Jesus loves you. Now, by the way, He doesn't just love His... I often say this, it's easy to love some people. Other people are hard to love. Right. And by the way, Jesus loves the ones it's easy to love. Jesus also loves the ones it's hard to love. Right. You might be like that. You might have been hard to love. You might have had a terrible attitude. By the way, if you get saved, that terrible attitude should get covered by the blood, and you should become a new person. The Bible says that's supposed to happen when you get saved. But you may be like Paul. Paul didn't think he could get saved because he thought he was too wicked. He said, "Unto me, who am less than all the saints, is this grace given." Paul considered himself the world's greatest sinner. And by the way, Jesus saved him and made him a preacher. Again, Jesus loves me. Another song that's good news to the lost is "Jesus Paid It All." In John chapter 10, verse 18, "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Here's what He said. Nobody made me hang on the cross. I tell people, you try to nail me on the cross, you're going to have two, three fellows to pull this arm over there and put a nail in it. You're going to have two, three fellows to hold that arm, pull it over there and put a nail in. You're going to have some, I'm going to be kicking and screaming. And if I have my cowboy boots on, I'm going to be hurting some people because I'm going to be kicking them. They're down there trying to hang on to my feet to put a nail through my... Yeah. But again, Jesus, that didn't happen with Him. He put His hands out there on the cross. He put His feet together and they put the nail through there. He did that willingly. He said, "No one takes my life from me. I gave it. I laid it down freely." Now, again, the reason He did that was because of that song we've talked about a moment ago, the fact that Jesus loves me. Again, that takes great love. The Bible tells you there's no greater love than the man will lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus didn't just die for His friends. Jesus died for His enemies. There were folks that was yelling a few moments before. They were yelling, "Crucify Him! Crucify Him!" And you know what? He died for them too. Those folks that parted His garments and was trading them among themselves, and those who spit on Him and slapped Him and called Him names and laughed at Him. I guarantee you, if you'd have been Jesus, we'd have struck every one of them dead. They'd all been laying there. They'd all be burning in hell. I mean, moments after they did that. But He loved them far more than you and I understand love. Again, Jesus paid it all. Another song that's good news to the lost is "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." And by the way, no one ever did care for you like Jesus. Let me read you a little bit about that song. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in Him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how He changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. He went on and said, "Every day He comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand His words of love, but I'll never know just why He came to save me, till someday I see His blessed face above." No one cared for you like Jesus. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Matthew 9:36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Mark 14:14 says, "And Jesus went forth, saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick." Now listen to me. No one ever cared for you. Now, there are people that you care for. There are people that I care for. But no one's ever cared for you. No one's ever cared for them like Jesus. Never been anyone before, never been anyone other after that's ever cared for people like Jesus cared for people. Another song of good news for the lost is that the blood will never lose its power. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 in your Bibles. Hebrews chapter 9, notice verse 22. In Hebrews 9, verse 22, the Bible says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood." The last phrase is very important. "And without the shedding of blood is no remission." People sometimes say that Christianity is a bloody religion, and it is. The blood of Christ. When God looks down from heaven, He doesn't see this fleshly body. He doesn't see my sinful body. You know what He sees? He sees the blood of Jesus covering me. He can't see my sin because it's covered by the blood. He forgave everything that I'd ever committed in the past. He forgives every sin that I commit today. He forgave every sin that I'm going to commit in the future. When I got born again, His blood covered my sin. And by the way, that blood will never lose its power. Another song that's good news to the lost is that grace is greater than our sin. Go to Romans chapter 5 in your Bibles. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Notice verse 20. "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound." Big offenses. "But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Sometimes we joke. We'll see someone and they'll say, "Let me introduce you to my little friend, and he's a great big guy." And by the way, the only way to beat that great big guy is to get a what? A bigger guy. Now here's what he said. "Your sin and my sin, it abounded." It was a lot. There was a bunch of it. Or in Missouri talk, there was gobs, okay? There was a lot of it. And here's what he said. "Where that sin abounded, my grace much more abound." My grace was bigger than the sin. So if you're wondering today whether Christ could save you, the answer to that is yes. You say, "But Mark, you haven't even heard me tell you about how big a sinner I am." It doesn't matter. There is not a sin big enough. There is not a sin debt big enough. If you add all your sins together, that's not big enough to be bigger than the grace of God and the blood of Christ. Grace is greater than our sin. Here's what the song says. "Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilt. Dark is a stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there's flowing a crimson tide. Whiter than snow you may be today." Again, some songs that give good news to the lost. Another song that gives good news to the lost is "He Included Me." Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14 in your Bibles. Luke chapter 14. Notice verse 23. "And the Lord said unto the servant," now some folks had already been invited to a wedding. They didn't all show up. "So he told his servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." Jesus desires for his house to be filled. He built heaven big enough that if everyone on this earth got saved, there'd be room. Now, not everybody on this earth is getting saved. Not everybody in the past that lived got saved. Not everybody living today is going to get saved. Not everybody that lives in the future till the rapture happens is going to get saved. That's not because Jesus didn't want them to get saved. Again, he wanted them to get saved. He told them, "Go out and get the blind to the man. Go out and just get anybody." That's what he said. "I already had some people invited. I invited some folks to the wedding. They didn't all come. So just go out and find anybody you can. Bring them in. Listen to me. We were not Jews. He went first to the Jews. I'm not a Jew. You might be, but I'm not a Jew. The gospel didn't originally, the disciples would not have originally preached to me. And if you're not a Jew, they wouldn't have originally preached to you. But when the Jews rejected the gospel, Jesus, by the way, some of the disciples wised up. You know what they decided? They decided to go to the Gentiles, which is where most of us fall in. Again, another song that's good news to the lost is the fact that he was wounded for our transgressions. Song says this. You can be flipping over your Bible to Isaiah chapter 53. That's where we'll be in a moment. Isaiah chapter 53. The song says, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. For our guilt, he gave us peace. For our bondage gave release, and with his stripes, souls are healed." Again, He was wounded for our transgressions. Notice Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Isaiah 53, 5 says, "For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities." That's what our sin did to him. "The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." Because of his blood, because of his sacrifice, we're saved. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, "Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed." Again, I'm so glad that he was wounded for my transgression. I'm glad that he died on the cross for me. Some good news for the lost. He is able. The kids sing it. He is able. He is able. I know he is able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. And then he goes on and says, "He healed the brokenhearted. He set the captive free. He made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see." If you're here today and you're lost, you might be one of those blind, maimed, and the halt. You're not a Jew. You weren't originally invited, but he extended the invitation to you. And if you're wise today, you'll realize that's some good news for the lost. Because otherwise, you can't save yourself. If we were dependent on ourselves to get to heaven, every one of us would die and go to hell. Thank goodness it's not upon us. He took care of that by hanging on the cross. The third thing I want to talk about this morning is some songs I hope you never have to sing. This is a sad song for the lost. It's called "One Day Too Late." "I never thought I'd see the day when you'd come to kneel and pray. I never thought I'd see the day when the church house filled to capacity." And let me get it right here. "I never thought I'd see the day when you'd come to kneel and pray. I never thought that I would see the church house filled to capacity. And outside the door there's more who have never come before." By the way, there'll be people to come to church after the rapture. They're hoping they're wrong. They remember something about grandma or grandpa or their dad or their brother or their neighbor or one of their friends telling them about Jesus and the rapture and hell and heaven. And they hope they're wrong because that person's gone. So they show up at church hoping that at church they'll find somebody that can tell them how to get saved. And by the way, if they showed up at church at that time, it's too late. Because the Bible says that after that rapture happens, there'll be a few folks saved. Folks who've never heard the gospel, and folks, so there'll be a few folks saved. But people who've heard the gospel, the Bible says they're going to believe a lie and be damned. They're going to get confused. You say, what will the world tell them? I don't know what the world will tell them. They'll come up with a really good reason. Maybe aliens took us away. I don't know. Maybe the Taliban all grabbed us. I don't know. I don't think they're going to tell you. But they'll come up with a reason why we're all gone. But again, hope that's not a song you sing in the future, "One Day Too Late." I hope you don't have to sing this song. One of the saddest songs, when I heard it sung the first time, it touched my heart. But it's really a sad song because it says this: "Please search the book again. I dreamed that I had died and gone to heaven. I stood just outside the eastern gate. The man from within said, 'Have you been born again? And is your name written in the book of life?' Told him all the deeds that I had done. Told him all the trophies I had won. But the man said to me, 'Have you been set free? And is your name written in the book of life?' Then he turned and left, and me standing there. I knew it was too late now for prayer. But oh my, sinner friend, if you want to make it in, you must have your name written in the Lamb's book of life." And then the song says, "Please search the book again." I thought my name was there. I always went to church on Sunday, though I never knelt in prayer. Now listen to me, you stand before God and ask him to look again in the Lamb's book of life because he didn't find your name the first time. Trust me, no matter how many times he looks, it won't be there. Because if you didn't get saved, it wasn't written in there. That's some sad news to the lost. Hope you never have to sing that song. Revelation chapter 20 in your Bible. Notice verse 15. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15 makes this statement. "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." You say, "I don't believe in hell." Doesn't change the fact that there is one. Sometimes I have a hard time believing I'm 60. Sometimes I feel 80, and other times I feel 40. Say, that's a big swing. Yes, it is. Wait till you get 60, you'll feel the same thing. They thought they was funny when they put "Over the Hill." My wife used to joke and say every year another part breaks down. I mean, apparently the warranty runs out in this old body, and every year you get older, another part breaks down. I mean, stuff that used to work doesn't work anymore. But again, understand, if you're here today and you're without Christ, you can, and you will have an opportunity to be saved in just a few moments. Let me give you the last part of this message, and that is the songs that I want you to sing today. This is what I want you to sing today. I want you to sing the song, "Lead Me to the Altar." You know, that's a good song to sing. lead me to the altar. By the way, if you're too nervous to come down front, I think last week one of our soul winners went to this young man right here and said, would you like to get saved? Now, the day I got saved, I didn't have anyone to lead me to the altar. I made a deal. The Holy Spirit was convicting me, and I was hanging on to that pew in front of me. I knew I needed to get saved because I didn't want to go to hell. But I was scared to get saved because there was a bunch of people around. I was scared to step out. I often joke, I think that's why we make the aisle like we do. It all runs downhill. You step out and start walking, you can't stop. You just stumble all the way to the front. But after I got saved, I went to my best friend, Mark Bowen. And I didn't want him going to hell because I had found out about heaven and hell. So I invited him to church, a little red-headed kid, about this guy. I said, a little bit bigger than this guy. Mark and I, neither one were very big. You say, then when did you get big? None of your business. But, we're trying to preach. Stay on the subject, okay? We're talking about more important stuff than when I got big. But I probably weighed 100 pounds then, maybe less. I was a little skinny kid. But after I got saved, I wanted Mark to get saved. So I went to school, talked to Mark, told him what had happened, invited him to church. He came to church, sat on the pew next to me that morning, Sunday morning. During the invitation, I noticed something. He was holding on to that pew just like I had been a few weeks before. I leaned over and I said to him, would you like to get saved? And he went, would you like for me to go with you? And he went, I said, let's go. Now listen to me. We'd love to lead you to the altar today. If you're lost, and you're nervous, and you're scared to come down front, you might just, ask one of us. We'll come with you. We'll bring you down front. We'll sit with you. We've had sometimes a brother, a sister, a mom, or dad sit with a friend or sit with a relative when they came down front. Sometimes two came down front. We said, what'd you come for? And she says, I'm just coming. He or she said, I'm just coming to help them. I'm just here with them. They brought someone to the altar. Again, a song I want you to sing today is Lead Me to the Altar. Another song I want you to sing today is Draw Me Nearer. I want you to get nearer to Jesus today. I want you to realize how much He loved you. I want you to understand that He loved you so much that He died on the cross for you. I want you to sing the song, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. Look in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 in your Bible. This is when the angel was out talking to the folks. But notice Luke chapter 2. We're going to read two verses. Luke chapter 2, we'll read verse 10 and 11 in a moment. But let me tell you this, give you some verse out of the song, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed His birth. Glory to God in the highest. Peace and good tidings on earth. Tell of the cross where they nailed Him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they led Him. Tell how He liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay, let me weep while you whisper, love paid the ransom for me. Then it goes on, and the chorus says, tell me the story of Jesus. Write in my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. In your Bibles, Luke chapter 2, notice verse 10 and 11. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. By the way, that is good news. And by the way, that's something I hope you, as a lost person, you realize, and that you take up Jesus on His offer of salvation. Again, another psalm that I hope you sing today is, Cleanse Me. The Bible says, search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior. Know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me, and there is. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. And by the way, Christ is able to do that. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That happens at salvation when you first get saved. Then it happens on a daily basis for a child of God. Because, by the way, after you get saved, sin doesn't stop. And as we continue to sin, I tell people all the time, sin does not, once you're saved, sin can no longer send you to hell, but it can keep you from being on good terms with God. It's kind of like a kid or a wife or a husband at odds with each other. When I commit sin, and I'm already saved, but I'm a sinner, and when I commit sin, it makes it where now there's something between me and the Savior. Like Adam and Eve in the garden. I mean, they sinned, and when God came and walked in the garden, He called their name like He always had. They didn't show up like they always had. Why? Because they realized they was naked. Now, if you've ever had a child, you realize this. Kids like being naked. They don't see anything wrong with it. I don't know how many times I've taken a diaper off a kid and got ready to change the diaper, and they jump up and start running. And you're running trying to catch them because they're naked, and they're running, and it's like, I mean, now, hopefully none of us do that because it won't be near as funny, okay? Or as entertaining.
But a child, you know why a child does it? They don't realize they're naked. Naked means nothing to them. They don't understand sin yet. Fact is, we know that they're a sinner. I mean, when you pick that baby up, when it's crying, and you check his diaper, I mean, diaper doesn't need change. You know you just fed him. You'd already burped him. I mean, and you think, what is wrong with him? You pick him up, and they start crying. You know what that little baby just did to you? They lied. They was crying, and you was thinking, oh, something's wrong. You picked him up. Nothing's wrong. They just wanted you to hold him. They were crying like something. I mean, I'm hurting. Help! You picked him up, and all of a sudden, it's like, I understand. They're born sinners just like you and I, but they're innocent until the Bible teaches. We call it the day of accountability. When they finally reach the day that they realize they're a sinner, that point on, they need to get saved. Till then, they're protected. The Bible teaches that when it talks about David's baby that died and how David was going to be able to go see his baby again, which tells us babies go to heaven. But again, I hope you will simply sing that song again, Cleanse Me, O Lord. Another song I hope you sing this morning is Jesus, I Come. Out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus I come, Jesus I come. Into thy freedom, gladness and light, Jesus I come, Jesus I come. Out of my sickness, into thy health. Out of my want, and into thy wealth. Out of my sin, and into thyself, Jesus I come, I come. Hope today another song you sing is Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. And by the way, he is a gentle Savior. Again, no one's ever cared for you like Jesus did. No one's ever cared for me like Jesus did. And the last thing, and I'm about done, hope you sing this song this morning if you're lost. Hope you sing the song called Into My Heart. Romans 10 in your Bible, Romans chapter 10, some of the last verses I show someone when I'm leading them to the Lord. I show them Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. I hope if you're lost here today, that that's a song that you sing. You come to the altar and you know what? You ask Jesus to come into your heart. When I lead someone in the sinner's prayer, I always tell them to basically pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me my sin. Come into my heart. Because that's what the Bible says. The Holy Spirit comes and he moves into our heart. Now, you see this body? You can't see Jesus, but he's in me. Now, you can see me sin. And hopefully, once Jesus came in, you can see me do right. When I was struggling with my salvation, whether I was saved forever or not, I was struggling with I was doubting my salvation. My dad asked me a simple question one day. He said, when you do wrong, do you feel bad? If no one even sees you, no one ever catches you, do you still feel bad? And I said, yes. He said, did you before you got saved? And I went, no. If people didn't find out, it's like, woo, I got by with one. He said, why do you think that is? The light came on. That happens that way. The reason I feel bad when I do wrong, even though no one else sees it, is because the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. And he's saying, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have done that. That wasn't very nice. That was pretty rude. I ought to slap you. Thank goodness the Holy Spirit doesn't slap you. But, I mean, again, understand, the reason that happens is because Jesus was in my heart. When you get saved, you're saved forever. You couldn't lose it even if you wanted to. If you went back, if you go after salvation, if you go back to God years later and say, God, I don't want it, take it away. Sorry, you can't. Because when you got saved, if you ever got saved, he gave you eternal life. And by the way, eternal life means exactly that, eternal life. Now, everybody has eternal life. Some will spend eternal life up in heaven. Others will spend eternal life in eternal punishment. And the choice is up to you. And decisions about that are made just in services just like this, whether you decide that you want to let Jesus come into your heart or not. If you're here today without Christ, I beg you, I plead with you, step out in a moment and come down front. We'll have folks that would love to take the Word of God. No, we're not going to ask you to join our church because you could join our church and every other church in town and still die without Jesus and go to hell. We're not going to ask you for an offering. You want to drop something in the offering plate, knock yourself out, but that's not going to get you to heaven. It's not even going to help you get to heaven. It's not even going to get you a step closer to heaven. You go out and do a bunch of good deeds this week. I mean, you sell everything you had and just give it to the poor. That's nice. Your wife and kids may not appreciate it, but that's nice. But that won't get you to heaven. Because there's nothing you and I can do. Jesus already did it all. When he died on the cross, and he cried out those words, it is finished. That's exactly what he meant. It is finished. What he meant was the payment for sin is done. Complete. Nothing to be added, nothing else needed, nothing to be added to it. If you're here today without Christ, He would love to save you. We would love to have the opportunity to show you how to get saved. If you're here today and you don't know for sure, if you're not 100% sure, if you have any doubt, you ought to come and get that settled this morning. If you're a child of God, you ought to appreciate the fact, you ought to tell God every day. Every day you wake up, you ought to thank Him that you're alive, and you ought to thank Him for saving you. You won't realize it until someday, if we can ever look back like the fellow did in the Bible where he looked across the great gulf and saw all the suffering and the hurt. We won't realize, we really fully won't appreciate salvation unless we realize how terrible hell is. And then we miss that because we got saved.